We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome into the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. My name is Andrew Laird, Senior Soccer Editor of RotoWire, joined once again by Ryan Belongi today to talk about Saturday's three-game Euros slate. Ryan, before we talk about anything else, I have to apologize to everyone listening and watching for completely mushing the main DraftKings GPPs. A few days ago when we had, I think Monday or Tuesday, it was back up to 100K, and I said, you know what, this is really promising. We had a 70K that filled and they went back up. And I said, I think this is what we're going to have from now on. We've had back-to-back, if not three straight 70Ks, and Saturday is 50K. We are moving in the wrong direction and I take full responsibility. So I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Very disappointing, especially tomorrow. We actually have some good teams on the slate. It's all the marquee teams in each of the three games. You figured we would have got a bigger slate for that, but... yeah, it seems our luck's finally run out.
If there was ever a slate, I feel like, to go big on, it was this. Saturday morning, is the regular Premier League. Maybe they were just they have a year's worth of data that shows that the Saturday morning Premier League staggered start is just terrible. But I have to hope that somebody there says, you know what? 9 a.m. Burnley versus Newcastle is not the same as France-Hungary with Mbappe and Griezmann, and Germany-Portugal is not the same as West Brom against Arsenal. Apologies for putting them in the junk category, but it just doesn't seem like it. So we're stuck with a fairly small GPP again with the same $20 entry.
Yeah, you know, I guess we got to make do with what we have. We would be pretty happy if we had a GPP on Saturday for the Premier League that had 10K to first. but I guess we'll just take it. It's weird, though, that maybe it's something about Saturday. It must be, because usually for these slates with the bigger teams on them, they fill. And, I mean, DraftKings must look at that, obviously. So... yeah, I don't know what it was. We had a little bit of overlay a couple days in those 70K GPPs. I'm sure that had something to do with it, but I don't know. You know, this one, the way things will go, this one will probably fill 2 hours early. But we'll see.
I have hopes that for the last round of games, they're going to be all two-game slates, but they're also going to be noon Eastern starts. So I feel like the 9 a.m. start is just a little tough for some people. And so, they focus more on showdowns and whatnot. So, I mean, it is what it is. Like you said, we play what they give us. So looking at this Saturday slate, Hungary, France, Portugal, Germany, Spain, and Poland. France and Spain are huge favorites. Spain has the highest implied goal total, which seems like absolute insanity to me. And then the best game is this Germany-Portugal one, at least from an actual soccer standpoint. When I was going through the salaries, it became pretty clear to me that I was going to go in one, maybe two directions. And I was starting to worry that cash lineups and GPP lineups are going to be very similar. And you'd think that if that was the case, that's like, since I primarily play cash and I kind of make like more optimal lineups, that I would hope that I could just throw that into GPP and be okay. But for some reason, I feel worse about it on this slate. And I think it's mostly because I decided not to play anybody from Germany and Portugal. And I'm so scarred by Spain. Like, if I could just play everybody from France, I would just do that.
Wow. Okay. So nobody from Portugal or Germany, huh?
I don't want to say nobody, but if I was trying to prioritize players from certain teams, I'm not sure I'm prioritizing from that game. Yeah. Germany just seem a little underwhelming, and Portugal just seem to always play in some cagey slop fest that doesn't produce like a ton of fantasy points. And all the guys are based that I want to play are pretty expensive. So I kind of just look every player I look at from Germany, Portugal, I just think, is there somebody from France I'd rather play? And it just feels like I'm saying yes a lot.
Yeah. I completely understand that. When I was trying to put together a lineup, it looked like a GPP lineup. And if it has a few of the expensive France players in it, it's probably not going to have the Portugal, Germany players in it. I put together a lineup currently that has three players from that Portugal, Germany game. And I thought it was probably too much, to be honest, but Mbappe was the guy I wasn't sure of for cash. 10K sitting at the top there. I can see that if I took out my guys from the Portugal-Germany game, I would probably end up with a lineup similar to yours, and it would look like a GPP lineup. And the question is that really that bad for this slate? You're right. It might be the way to go. So I guess my first question would be, are you playing Mbappe in cash?
So looking at my lineup, I was thinking like, this is not really a cash lineup, but it's also a bad GPP lineup. Like there was nothing, I didn't feel good about any of this.
No, you mean?
I think Griezmann is the easiest play on the slate. And I think he's going to be the highest owned player, certainly in cash. He's not going to be low owned in GPP. Like I think he's going to be really popular set piece taker for France. Like I'm not sure there's a slate where we won't play him. So there's that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the real discussion is not only whether to play Mbappe, but also not also, do you play Mbappe or Benzema?
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to play Mbappe, but I ended up on Benzema. And okay. I think like I saw myself losing all of my money because of that.
Mm-hmm.
But you basically are like jamming in Mbappe with Griezmann, and you can do it. We talked about this in the last France slate. Like both of us like really like playing Benzema, and I'm wondering if that's playing a part in it, but he's literally like $2,100 cheaper. So
yeah,
if you play Benzema instead of Mbappe, you can get maybe a better Spain piece or somebody from that Germany Portugal game. But if France wins, you know, 5-0, which I don't think they do, but if they win big, Mbappe probably plays a role. And then I started thinking, wait a minute, should I be playing Griezmann, Mbappe, and Benzema?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I decided to just walk away from my computer.
Yeah, okay. I went through all those same stages. Yeah, obviously I agree. Griezmann's a lock. I mean, yeah, biggest favorite, takes all the set pieces, cheaper than, you know, Mbappe and some of the other forwards. Yeah, and I ended up on Benzema too. And, you know, he's usually the last guy you would think of for a cash lineup. But he's pretty cheap on this slate.
Yeah.
And you know, it's hard, you know, it's hard to see France not scoring goals, mm-hmm. and Benzema's likely going to be involved in them. And then, yeah, Spain might be another team to target, but it's tougher to pick who from them. We don't know who's going to start, and not like that's that big of a deal. You can plan for that, but I would hate to spend money on the wrong Spain guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they have the highest implied goal total. Like you said, that's a little interesting to me too as well. After that first game, I know they had all the possession in the world, but it seemed like they could play for hours and not score.
Yeah.
Seriously, like watching that game, like there was like, it's just always the same, always the same. Like no invention, like no other ideas. It was, yeah. All the possession in the world. So you think that should translate into a chance or two. And Poland looked pretty bad. So I get the line to an extent. It still doesn't make me that confident about Spain. I don't see anyone from Germany I'd want to play in cash. I don't see anyone from Hungary I'd want to play in cash, nor Poland, and probably not Portugal either. So it really leaves you with France and Spain.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I tinkered around with whether to play Bruno or not. I don't think Ronaldo's the play.
No.
So that makes like being able to throw out Ronaldo makes it a little easier. Like kind of talk about like the goal when you have all these salaries is to weed out as many as possible and get your player pool tight. Mm-hmm. And throwing out Ronaldo and his salary is helpful. So thankfully that was gone. It's cash and Germany's on the slate. So like Kimmich and Kroos have to be at least thought about.
Mm-hmm.
But you definitely don't play both. And we kind of sided with Kimmich on the last slate. I think if you want Germany, you go there as well. But I just don't think that's the game to go after. Like if it wasn't Germany and Portugal and we saw these odds with the goal total, we'd be like, no, I'll stay away from that. And that's fine. And I think that's probably the optimal way to go.
Yeah. I think that's good advice. You're right. If we didn't see the names, we probably wouldn't go there. It's funny you say that about Kroos and Kimmich because I made a lineup that has all three of them. And it seems to work pretty easily, but I'm not sure it will get you there on this slate. So I see myself, you know, leaning towards getting as much France in as I can.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm worried about Spain. Like, you know, that they sub their guys too. So I keep going back and forth on that. Like Bruno, Kroos, and Kimmich, it doesn't seem so bad to have all those set pieces. And, you know, some Spain guys have, I don't know, I think they have higher bust probability than people realize. I mean, yeah, they're going to get floor points, but I mean, it's still tough to pick where they come from.
So I think the biggest issue that I had with Spain is when you have the ball that much, but you're not creating chances, you're not winning that many dead balls. And so the value that you put on set pieces is kind of minimized, even as like big favorites, because you kind of need, you can't create a set piece on your own. Like it requires the ball to go out of bounds off of somebody else or a foul to be committed. And so obviously if you have the ball theoretically, that's gives you more opportunities to get those instances. But if you're just passing back and forth, like nowhere near the box, like it's just, you're not getting quality dead balls. And so the two guys I considered from Spain were Koke and Dani Olmo. And I think mm-hmm. it's completely just because of that first game that they were the only ones that really did anything. And Olmo has the problem of he can be a sub. Like they have plenty of guys that could replace him. Not that Koke can't be replaced, but like Koke had the set pieces and he's a little deeper.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I think the lineup you would make on this slate is significantly different if you knew who was playing 90, and we obviously don't. And so Spain just seems really risky, even though there's this expectation that they'll have the ball a ton and just pass a bunch.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. I agree. I think the guy I would want to play in cash is Koke. I mean, yeah, he took their set pieces and he finished with almost 14, played 87 minutes. If I knew that he was going to start for sure, I mean, yeah, I think you just play him in cash. I'm even worried about him not starting, which is with the way that Spain played. They have a lot of players. He wasn't in some of their projected lineups before this first game. That's just another worry for me. I do like Koke, though, if he were to start.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. Even, you know, they might not get a lot of set pieces the way they play, and sometimes they might take short corners, but, you know, they're going to have so much of the ball again. Koke is cheap. So no matter what, it should result in him getting some points. You would think so. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at on Spain.
It's just not, I think you hit that point too, that like they're the late game. And so if you just have Koke and he doesn't start, you're basically not getting set pieces, because no, anyone who could take set pieces is going to be more expensive than Koke. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have to leave the salary for it.
Right.
I think one of the things that just rubs salt in the wound of the first game is that Jordi Alba was awesome. And I was like, I never play Jordi Alba. And I'm looking at this slate, and we'll get to defenders in a second, but like, I think he's like 6,200. Like, mm-hmm. would I rather play Jordi Alba or Joshua Kimmich? And it's like, how is this even a conversation? But it is.
Yeah, it is. On this slate, I think that's a tough call, actually. Yeah, right. We can get the defender later.
But yeah, I think, you know, if I think you're going to be testing the limits of how much safety you want to have in cash on this slate, A, because we have a big favorite and you're probably playing at least one goal dependent guy. And then B, you may be relying on certain guys in the last game for a team that could rotate after kind of disappointing in their first game, which should just push you to the ones that you think of. And now I'm just walking myself into this Germany-Portugal game.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened to me. And then I started to try to convince myself that the Germany-Portugal game might be okay. And it might be.
It might be.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I can see that game being okay. Sometimes when those big teams play, you know, Germany, they're not the team that they used to be. I think there's going to be chances in that game. Germany needs to win. Portugal, like, I don't know. Yeah, it seems like I could see there being more chances than people think, I guess.
Okay, that's fair. So we talked about forwards already a little bit. Griezmann, Benzema, Mbappe.
Yeah.
It seems that if we think that Portugal, Germany is going to be lower owned, then there's really no reason to look at Lewandowski. Mm-hmm. Do you think he actually, because of that, do you think it makes him a good GPP play, or is it just that matchup is just no reason to play him?
I think he's an okay GPP play. You know, I struggle because it's a big name. So like, I just always feel like there's still going to be a little ownership. I mean, maybe there won't be though, cause it's a terrible matchup. I also think though, like if Lewandowski gets a goal, I mean, I don't even know if he's a favorite for 15 points. I mean,
right.
This is the scenario where Lewandowski becomes Cavani. like, you know, like they're not going to get many chances. Like he could get a pen, you know, he could score a header, you know, anything on a counter attack, but like I can't see him like breaking a slate for you at 8K.
Right.
So like, yeah, it might be like a sneaky play to get you a goal. I don't know if it's going to win it for you at that price.
I mean, that's a great way to put it.
I'd probably go somewhere else. I'm going to fade Ronaldo too. I think he's too expensive. I don't think he'll get enough chances. And I think he'll be too high owned just because he's Ronaldo. Obviously, he could score a hat trick. But it's just a chance I'm willing to take on this slate. I'd rather go to the Germany guys in GPP. They're all cheaper. I see Germany having more chances than Portugal. They seem like great options. Not that they'll be low owned, but then I guess Mbappe at the top, right? Going to be very popular in GPPs, I would say. And he should be. But it's about time. Like usually and historically, I would say that Mbappe is like the most under-owned player on every slate that he's on. Last slate, Portugal were the favorites, and him and Ronaldo, I don't remember, he was cheaper than Ronaldo. Ronaldo was like 5 or 6 times as high owned. You watch those games and they have the same amount of chances, and it's always going to be like that. You know, you're halfway through the Portugal game and Ronaldo hasn't touched the ball. They're huge favorites. And, you know, Mbappe, regardless of matchup, he's getting, you know, 3 to 5 clear chances every game, no matter what. I mean, you know, whenever the day comes that Messi isn't the best player in the world anymore, for me, it's Mbappe. He was incredible in that Germany game. I mean, he had a goal ruled off, an incredible goal ruled off. He set up Benzema for another one. This isn't the slate to get him at low ownership, but I would definitely keep that in mind. I just don't know why people refuse to own him. Like, you know, you can even take it back to the Champions League. There was some big slates and even more drastic situations. Like I remember, I think Ronaldo and Juventus were playing Porto. They were big favorites. Barcelona were playing like Ferencváros. Both of them are like 75% owned. Mbappe's like 10. You get to halftime and like Ronaldo's, you know, he's got 2 shots or something. He hasn't even had a chance to score. I mean, Messi too. So that's just one thing I've been considering lately. Some of these ownership percentages in these tournaments just continue to shock me, and hopefully we can start to take advantage of them. Again, he's going to be high owned on this slate, but I mean, a hat trick's in the cards.
Do you think Mbappe only lineups are more popular than Mbappe and Griezmann, or do you think just like everybody is pairing them?
That's a good question. I think most people will pair them, but I definitely don't mind Mbappe only lineups. You know, being the salaries where they are. I mean, Griezmann's going to have to score more than, you know, he's going to have to score more than 12 points to be optimal, most likely. So he'll have to be involved in the goals. You can pair Mbappe with Benzema too. I mean, I love that.
Obviously, just to bring that up. Yeah.
Yeah. Benzema too. Another guy people usually don't like to play. That's not going to be the case tomorrow with his favorable salary, but yeah, France is going to be popular and rightfully so. I guess that's all you can really say about it.
Yeah. Yeah. It just, I guess the way that I'm looking at it is France is going to be popular because they're the biggest favorite. Spain, just like if you are relying on a big Spain win, you're doing it with significant lineup risk, both with starting lineup and playing 90 minutes. And if you don't want to do that, then you're going to the game with the lowest total. And if you don't take Ronaldo, I mean, stacking that Germany-Portugal game without Ronaldo is very doable. Like Gnabry's cheap. You can get all the set pieces much cheaper than you can France and even Portugal. Like, I wonder if just stacking that game is actually the more beneficial play as opposed to just trying to like figure out Spain and different France pieces.
I like that call. Yeah. You can play multiple players from that game. Good price on both sides.
I mean, like,
Yeah.
Gnabry's 7,000. I mean, that's really, Mueller's 6,700.
There's one guy here that I want to highlight. I see him in the projected lineup. He had a nice little cameo on the last slate, and that's $6,100 Rafa Silva. Bernardo Silva is a nice player, but I don't think I've ever seen him go past somebody. I mean, sometimes I can't tell if it's him or Juan Mata in a Portugal jersey. He looks anyways, Rafa Silva comes on, and he's the type of player that Portugal hasn't necessarily had recently. I mean, he's got quickness and burst and skill and pace, and, you know, he can make some things happen. Mm-hmm. I love going to Rafa Silva if he gets the start, and he's very cheap.
Yeah.
He's the type of guy who gets points in other ways too.
Yeah, that's definitely a fun one. I thought you were going to bring up Jota, just because he's much cheaper too, but.
Yeah, I should have. I don't mean to not bring up Jota. Good play too, and good price, and important player for them. Jota like gives them something different too. He definitely the type of player I want to play in tournaments. He will have chances. He makes things happen. Very good price too. Yeah, those forwards on both sides of that game are just, they're all appealing. I mean, because of the price specifically.
I was going to say, yeah, the price is, if they score a goal, you're good.
You're good. If they score a goal, you're good. And yeah. You're right too, that because France is going to see such high ownership and Spain will see some too, they're going to go overlooked in that game. And sometimes people don't also think that, like, these Portugal and France guys, they can score a goal and that's fine. If the Germany and Portugal guys score a goal too, you don't need those other guys. Like, they're not going to make it in some of the winning lineups. So just because they might be good plays, it doesn't mean you can't get a good, you know, a better play, I guess, when you consider the price from somewhere else.
I think that's a great point. What's also nice about the prices of those guys is you're not just, like, you can get multiple pieces from that game, whereas like, you get three or four if you like really want it. Like, I think you're almost better off just game stacking that one as opposed to like taking just like two guys from Portugal, two non-Ronaldo guys from Portugal or something. But because they're cheap, you can get a bunch and not have to worry about the France and Spain prices. So.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. Are there, so just not touching Hungary and Poland?
For forwards, at least? I'm not going to touch Poland. And I'm not saying that I'm going to touch Hungary, but if I had to choose, I would choose those Hungary guys. Just cause I don't know. I give them a better chance to score than Poland. I mean, they're playing in front of some crazy home fans. They have guys that take shots. They have a big center forward in, he's 4,800. I don't know how to differentiate between the two names, but Adam Salai.
They couldn't on TV either. Salai and Shalai.
Yeah, Salai and Shalai. I mean, he had 11.5 floor points against Portugal. And
he was a beast.
He's a beast. And, you know, one thing I'll say about France is while they're a dominant team, they don't necessarily dominate possession all the time. Mm-hmm. They play on the counter sometimes. They gave up a lot of chances and a lot of possession to Germany. Part of the reason for that was that they took an early lead in the game. Yeah. But I'd still expect Hungary to, I mean, you know, neither team's going to have a lot of chances, but I feel like Hungary will have more chances than Poland.
Right.
I don't know.
30% possession versus 25%.
right.
But I mean, you make the good point that, like, just having Mbappe on your team makes it unnecessary to control possession all the time. Like, you need to give it up a little bit so that you can hit them on the counter, because he's just lethal there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
So I found midfield to be by far the toughest, but that was after I decided I probably didn't want to play Cruz. Bruno is obviously like always a draw. He's 9,000. Like, I get it. I think one of the problems is for cash, at least, like, I'm not overly thrilled. Like, I have no reason to prioritize the France guys. So I know I'm paying like up for the forwards. That's like when I'm like, well, I may as well just like play Koke, but I'm dead if he doesn't start. So what are we doing here?
Oh yeah. Midfield is tough. So, you know, just looking at the names and normally who we would play in cash, Bruno Fernandes and Toni Kroos. I'm looking at that right now and I can just see there's a like for like 2v2. You could switch Bruno and Kroos for Mbappe and Koke. Thinking about that, it's hard not to side with Mbappe and Koke. You're right.
Bruno, which sounds crazy because we're like,
sounds crazy.
Like,
yeah.
For cash, you're like, no thanks on Bruno and Toni Kroos.
Mm-hmm. It sounds crazy. But Bruno, 9K, that's expensive for this matchup in Germany. He's going to, you know, 9K is a lot. Like, that's a lot of floor points that he's going to need, especially if France score. Kroos is cheaper. I probably prefer Kroos. I mean, he had a really good game against France. A lot of that was due to 5 tackles won. Seems a little bit out of the ordinary for Kroos. But I think you can go there. Again, and like back to Koke, if I was sure he's starting, I'd side with Koke for the better matchup and the cheaper price. And it still might be worth the gamble. But yeah, I get to answer your initial question about what do we do with Bruno and Kroos. I think you can play him or fade him. I don't know. Like, what we, I think we've made the points for both sides. I think, you know, if I had to just lean one way, maybe it's a little too safe. I don't know. I don't know if you might get beat by goals if you do that. I don't know. That's kind of how I'm feeling. What do you think?
I think that's the right way to think of it. That, and you shouldn't be thinking that way usually in cash, the whole, mm-hmm. like, I'm going to lose to goals. And it's also kind of funny to be like, I'm going to lose to goals, so I'm going to play Koke. even though he's not really obviously the one who's you have to worry about. But I think because midfield is so awful, particularly if you don't play Koke, that may put Kroos to be more valuable than Kimmich. Like, it wouldn't be crazy if Germany and Portugal was scoreless. Obviously, we're not expecting it to be. But like Kimmich does have, you know, that little bit of clean sheet upside. But I think just filling midfield spots is going to be tough. And so that may put Cruz ahead of him. But you basically have to take that first game and cut the tackles one in half or even more. Because, yeah, that five tackles one is kind of an outlier for anyone, really, but certainly for Tony Cruz. But
yeah, I mean, this is going to be a slight exaggeration here, but, you know, take Bruno and Cruz. That's 15,800. I'll take Mbappe just for 10K, and I'll take my chances of him outscoring both them. I mean, I feel like you got to factor that in on this slate. Like, if we think Bruno and Cruz might struggle to hit their floors, I mean, we'd be happy if Cruz scored 10, right? I mean, Bruno's got to score at least that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough. Again, like all these slates recently, Lukaku, Kane, like these 10K forwards in cash. Like, I haven't played much cash before, but it's weird, you know, and I can see if you are against it. I would not, you know, I couldn't really argue with you if you feel the opposite way.
I agree with there. Looking at some of the other midfielders, like, would you play Dani Olmo if you knew he was playing 80 minutes?
Yeah. Oh, cash specifically? I don't think so, but I could, but I get it. Like, I get it. I don't know, you know, maybe, you know, I probably have some bias here being that I seem to be so down on Spain, but like, I think he needs a goal or an assist for that too. And I know they have big implied odds, but I'll just take Cruz for 800 cheaper. I don't hate it though. I see your point. You know, he's the cheapest of all the Spain attackers. Yeah. 13 floor points last game. Great matchup playing in Spain. You know, I might be convincing myself. Yeah. I mean, if I knew he was going to start and play 80 minutes, I think that's a good option. And yeah, I think maybe I even take back what I said. I'd probably play him over Cruz.
I think that the issue that you have with him is if he doesn't start, you're going to Koke, which like is not that bad because at least, you know, Koke starting. I guess it's possible both of them aren't in. And then the set pieces are kind of get even sloppier, but you're not able to get Ferran Torres. Like, you can't get any of the upside guys. You can play Marcus Llorente as a right back, but
yeah,
he's kind of neutered in this team also.
I almost feel like you might have to play two guys from that game.
Right.
If you want to play some Spain. I will say though, if you play Koke, it wouldn't be the worst thing ever to have to go to Marcus Llorente, even at right back. That's a guy that you should be guaranteed 90 minutes with. And in that Sweden game, he was in the box quite a bit on that right side. You wouldn't love it, right? If Koke didn't start either, I guess you could go to Thiago too for 600 cheaper. I mean, he's taken sets for them recently. So there is options there if you just play Koke from that game. But, yeah, someone like Almo, and then that's all you have, that doesn't feel so good. Right. I mean, that's 2,000 salary left. Now, I know Koke can get you there too if he would have all the sets, but, you know, you don't love it.
Yeah. Just to accentuate the absurd possession, because I was just looking at Llorente because we were like, oh, he had the ball a lot. So Llorente completed 91 passes in that first game. And somebody in Discord was saying DraftKings should give like a 3-point bonus to 100 completed passes, which would just be perfect for these Spain games. So Llorente had 91.
Wow. Actually, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm looking at his game log. You see 7.2 floor points, but he only has two stats. So how did he get there? He has two crosses and a shot assisted. Oh, because he had 91 passes. Okay.
So yeah. He had 91, and he was the fifth highest on the team. Koke, 103. Pau Torres, 109. Jordi Alba, 109. Aymeric Laporte, 115.
I mean, no wonder all these guys had such inflated floor scores. Yeah, wow. Mm-hmm. I mean, Got to expect them to have a lot of possession again.
Yeah, those all of those guys had more completed passes than Sweden.
Than the whole team?
Yep.
What a great stat. Yeah. Yep. Wow.
Just a waste. So yeah, no thanks on those guys. So we've got Zielinski at 6,200. Given that we just talked about how Spain's going to complete 1,800 passes, it doesn't seem like they're going to have enough of the ball to make him viable. The Hungary set piece is also like, I'm not sure you're going after them.
No.
Yeah. I just, like midfield wise, I'm just not sure like where else you go, which is
right,
kind of the
because
problem.
You might have to, right. Like I was playing around with like, yeah, if you could punt a midfielder. Yeah, that looks like a tall order too. Jozwiak. We don't want to play Poland. I would not play Zielinski for 62, but nope. This other guy doesn't seem like the worst, 3,800. And then, yeah, Hungary set pieces. Again, I don't think you want that. I mean, they're not right. going to get very many. Kleinheisler took one corner for, or one, I don't remember, one set piece. It might have been a corner, but nope, I don't think you want to do that. So yeah, where are you looking in this cheap range, if anywhere?
I wasn't really, but I think the only way you really go is either like you go the N'Golo Kanté route of the, you know, a defensive midfielder on a big favorite that might be able to move up a little bit. But like obviously Pogba is not cheap. Because he never is. I mean, 5,400, I guess, isn't terrible. I mean, Pogba is always like a fun GPP option. Rabiot's 3,900, but like, I think that's where you go. And that just feels awful. which kind of just moves you back into the whole Cruz, Bruno, Koke discussion.
You're right. And like, It'd be nice if you could build with one of these 3,900 punts. Yeah. It makes things a lot easier, but like if they bust, does it hurt your lineup a lot? Then that's when like, you know, playing Bruno and Cruz makes sense if you're going up against people with zeros in their lineup. not saying that's going to happen, but yeah, I think you're right. Like Rabiot seems like, yeah, him or Kanté, they seem fine, but definitely not excited about it.
Mateus Klich is 3,400, excuse me. So he had 6.8 in the first game against Slovakia. Obviously playing Spain is very different, but theoretically, if you're playing a team that has the ball a lot, you have some more, you know, interception and tackle possibilities. I mean, his like ceiling is nothing, but he's the only one that like I can maybe convince myself to do. But even then, maybe I just play one of the Hungary guys. It's all.
Yeah.
I will say this.
I don't think you can convince me to do that, I guess. Yeah. I'll say. although I just talked about Jozwiak 3,800, that's where I would go on Poland.
Okay, that's fair.
Although you make a good point in that Klik might be in line for more points without the ball, whereas like, you know, a guy like Jozwiak might get his points from having the ball. Sure. But then, you know, if you're relying on, you know, a guy for defensive stats, like, then, you know, just play a France guy, you know, just, yeah, I don't think it makes sense to try to, like, hope for a ceiling game of 5 points.
I will say, when I first started building, I guess I just expected Griezmann to also be midfield eligible. And I was like, oh, I'll just play Mbappe, Benzema in my forward spots and Griezmann as a midfielder. And you can't do that. So you can play all three with the utility, but it's not, that doesn't help you fill a midfield spot. So
same thing happened with me. I tried to make that lineup, went to go put Griezmann in at midfielder, and yeah, nope. All the friends.
He's definitely midfield eligible for Barcelona on DraftKings, so that's why I just assumed. But
yeah, it's weird, but it makes, you're right, it makes the decision a little different, because right. then you have to use a util spot, and then you still need two midfielders. Yep. So it's tough to get all those expensive France forwards in. Also, you absolutely have to punt somebody if you do that. And then, I mean, if you want to do that, obviously just punt to France guy, because like you're going for goals in that game, and you know, you just hope Conte or Rabiot, or you know, they just play a little 5-yard pass to one of those guys and they go on to score. You know, that's all it takes.
Yeah, you need that 5-yard pass and then Mbappe to dribble, you know, the length of the field.
Yeah. Or like a 5-yard pass to Benzema and a 30-yard rocket, you know, or something like that.
Right. That didn't do anything to actually set up the goal, but just to give
it. Right.
So at defense, we obviously talked about Kimmich a little bit. He's 6,400, most expensive. Jordi Alba, 62. Rafael Guerrero, 6,000. I think if you are playing this like a traditional cash lineup, then all of those guys are reasonable. But I think France smash kind of fear makes you not pay that. I mean, we're just talking about how like the lower tier midfielders are so bad that if you compare like a $3,000 midfielder, like $3,500 to $4,000 midfielder versus like one of the France or Spain center backs, I think you're just better off with the center backs.
I agree 100%. I think, you know, one of your defender spots, it'd be a good idea to have it as one of those center backs from the favorite teams. Absolutely. Kimpembe, 3,300, Varane, 35, and the Spain guys are 35. You're right. I'd rather play them than any of those midfielders for sure. You could play two of them if you want to. But yeah, I agree. I think one of those center backs seems pretty good on this slate for cash. The expensive guys, yeah, that's a tough one too. Not going to play Guerrero out of those expensive guys. Feel like he has. I'd rather play Kimmich between the two in that same matchup, but I'd probably rather play Alaba than both of them if I was in that range. Like you said, you know, Alaba is one of those weird ones. You don't love rostering him. He busts a lot, but when they have a lot of possession like this, he's a guy they use to attack a lot. I mean, they were struggling for ideas, and Mbappe loves to get to the byline and make those like overlapping runs. They try to play those like little perfectly weighted through balls that will end up in Alba squaring it for somebody to tap in. But I think I would just go to him for I guess the open play value and the possession. You can make an argument for Kimmich too, though. You're right. He did take set pieces. Cruz did too, but Kimmich was taking most of the right-sided corners in that game against France. He would have done all right against France without the yellow card.
Yep.
And I don't want to like sell Kimmich in Germany short either. He has open play value too, playing on the right wing, basically in a back five, if that's where he's going to line up again. So besides these top tier defenders and besides these punts, is there anywhere else you're looking?
Nope. I think you can make like, I want to say like that makes everyone else like in that middle range, like decent GPP plays, because like nobody's touching them. And basically if you're paying for defense, then like the rest of your lineup gets very different, because you can't afford the ones that we all think are going to be pretty popular. Mm-hmm. But I guess like, I agree with you. Like I'm not playing Guerrero. I probably don't play Semedo either. Like that doesn't seem worth it. And then do you try to get away with like Pavard or Lucas Hernandez? Like, I think they're fine. But I'm not sure they like, even at their, you know, 4,500 ish price, I guess Pavard's 52. I don't think like a high floor game from either hurts you if you don't have them in tournaments. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. I'm just not sure what you're getting out of them.
Yeah. I agree with basically all of that. I do think the mid-range guys are decent GPP plays because they won't be popular. Like you said, like people are going to pay up or just pay down. So like targeting the mid-range normally would seem like a good move, but you're right. Like, which of these guys do we want to go to? Semedo? Yeah, probably not. The France guys, you talked about their floors and how they probably wouldn't hurt you. I agree. Like, even France being big favorites, they don't really use their fullbacks like that. Especially not, yeah, neither of them. I mean, I guess Pavard gets forward sometimes more than Lucas. But, yeah, you play those guys, again, the same reason you kind of play the punt midfielders on France is because you want the assists. Of course they can get the assist. But you're right. I wouldn't fear them from a floor perspective, or you shouldn't be missing out on anything there. And then, yeah, the hungry guys, not really going to go there. Oh, there, I guess there might've been one hungry guy. Oh yeah. Lovren 6 or 2,900 playing on the wing. But it's like, you know, do you really want to do that, or do you want to just play one of those favored center backs? Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you need that salary. I don't hate it, especially if the guys in the mid range aren't going to get floors either. Yeah, Germany, no, Spain. They only Spain has one defender basically because Marcus Llorente is the other one. Yeah, no. Defender doesn't look great besides the top range and the very bottom.
I think Pavard is probably the one. Pavard and Kimmich. And Pavard obviously provides you kind of exposure to the team we think is probably the best team on the slate. So you're basically looking at Pavard, based on salary, Pavard and Click versus, you know, one of the center back, you know, Kimpembe or Laporte and Koke. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's basically the 2v2.
And yeah, that would seem like a pretty easy decision.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. I agree.
Do you have any money for Hugo Lloris?
No.
Let me actually change that question. Do you think playing Lloris is enough? I don't even want to call it a hedge, but is it enough safety to fading Mbappe? Or Benzema, I guess. Like, does the win clean sheet protection make up for the goal? Because theoretically, I don't know how many people are playing, you know, Griezmann, Mbappe, and Lloris. I mean, I guess you could if you really want to go all out. But
that's a tough question. It could. Is it going to be enough? Who's to say Lloris is better than Unai Simon?
True.
I don't know. Lloris is playing on the road. Spain's at home. I don't know. I don't know if it would be enough. I feel like that's one where, like, I'd almost want to, like, crunch some numbers and see where it ends up most of the time. But, like, because the cheaper goal, like, is 12 points from Lloris or Simon, like, you know, those other goalies, some of them are going to score 5 or 6 or maybe even more. Like, is six, 8 points if you're lucky? Like, is that difference plus the salary that difference costs, is that going to be worth it? I mean, it could be, but you better use that salary wisely. Yeah, it's that's a decision. You're right. I think, what do you think?
Yeah, I think Neuer and Patricio pretty much get ignored.
Yeah, It just seems, yeah. I agree.
So they get ignored. And so you're basically like, do I want to pay up for Simon or Lloris or down for Galashi and Chesney? And I think given the way that we've seen the teams, Galashi, I think, has more save upside just because we don't, you know, you could see Mbappe and Benzema and Pogba taking a bunch of shots. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure Poland has the ball enough to get off 10 to 15 shots. So flip side, I'm not sure Spain is going to take as many shots so that Chesney gets all these saves. Right. That's what I meant to say. Sorry.
Right. No. Yeah.
But I also think it's more likely that Spain doesn't drop five on Poland. And I think France could drop five on Hungary. And so,
yeah,
that just kind of pushes me more towards Chesney than Galashi, but like, it's goalie, and I've proven time and time again, I have no idea what I'm doing there.
No, but I think that was good analysis. I was hoping you were going to take it there because that's exactly what I was thinking. It seems like France just, yeah, it's, you're worried about France putting four or five by Galashi. Like, it seems like, yep, I agree. And you can see Spain struggling to score. Again, like trying to predict these cheap guys is tough, but I agree with you on that one. I would lean towards the Polish keeper. I think like he has a smaller chance of putting up -8, maybe.
Right. Like Portugal put three past Hungary. And it feels like this is the game in this group. Because it's those four, Hungary, France, Portugal, and Germany. It seems like everyone's game against Hungary should be the game that they try to score five in.
Right. It's like the showcase team for each, or the showcase game for each team in this group.
Exactly. Yeah,
absolutely. Like, I see like a couple tap-ins for France. I mean, with the way they play. Like, I don't know. Again, I'm very high on France, so I just can't do it with Galashi. I'll take the Poland keeper, whether it's Chesney or Fabianski. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I think there could be a point where Galashi looks great, where he has like four saves in the first 20 minutes, and then they lose 6-0. I guess the Chesney fear is that Spain wins 1 or 2-0 and it's on their only shot or two shots on goal.
Right. That's a fear too. I don't want to sell Spain too short. They should have enough possession in this game and hopefully I would assume they got like a little bit of shtick from that first game in that you would think they're going to take some shots and like be a little more aggressive. I don't know though. You never know. Spain are stubborn with the way they play football and yeah, you never know. But that's kind of what I think.
Yeah. I think that's the right read for sure. All right, cool. If anybody has any follow-up for Ryan or me, you can find us in the RotoWire Discord, which is open for all subscribers. Just go to rotowire.com/chat to get in there. If you're not a RotoWire subscriber yet, I'm not sure what you're waiting for, but if you want to get in for free for 10 days, just go to rotowire.com/soccer trial. Gets you access to every sport we cover, as well as that subscriber Discord chat. If you're watching this on YouTube and have enjoyed it, if you could please hit the like button below. And if you are listening to the audio version, if you could please rate and review it wherever you listen. Ryan, thank you for that, and good luck on Saturday.
Thanks, Andrew. Good luck, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. For more great content, visit rotowire.com/soccer.